welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. This is Jessica. I am your host, and I am here with an author that we all love. She is one of our favorite summer reads. Every time one of her books comes out, we're like, it's summer, time to get our hearts ripped out and all of that fun stuff. Why don't you tell everybody who you are and about this book that we're going to be talking about?
Thank you, Jessica, and thanks for having me on. I'm so happy that we're doing this. So my name is Mae Cobb, and my book is A Likeable Woman, and it's out July 11th, so in 3 weeks. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it is. Again, you know, perfect timing for summer, and this is a juicy beach read. It's a homecoming story. It's a mystery. It's a thriller. I don't want to call it a second chance romance unless I'm trying to be funny, and I'm not. But you know, it's got stuff in it. And I really liked it. And it's told from two different perspectives and two different timelines. There's Kira in the present, who is returning to her hometown to, I guess, the remarriage of one of her friends and her friend's husband, that she doesn't want to go to this, but she goes. And she's staying with her grandmother. And her mother died mysteriously when Kira was younger, which caused a lot of trauma. And she starts getting mysterious texts, and things just go sideways from there. So yeah, tell us a little bit about this and about the characters and, you know, just your idea to write this story.
Yeah, so like you said, Kira has returned home. She's been living in Los Angeles for the past few decades, and she swore she'd never go back to her like suffocating little East Texas gossip-filled town. But her frenemy is having this like vow renewal party over the weekend, and her former crush is going to be there, even though he's, you know, remarried and successful. And Kira's life has been pretty much frozen since her mom's death. So ever since she was like, her mom died when she was a teenager, she was told that it was a suicide, but she never, ever believed it. Her and her mom were super close. Her mom, Sadie, was an artist, but just like mainly in her backyard shed. But she was about to finally have her first museum showing, gallery showing, and then she dies. And Kira believes that it was murder. And then what really the tipping point of, you know, why she gets pulled and sucked back into going home for this weekend is her grandmother texts her and says, you know, I have something of your mother's, something she was keeping in secret. And I think you're right about the way she died and about how she died. So she can't not go back and find out. And what that is, and it's not really a spoiler alert because it is on the cover copy, is it's an unpublished memoir her mother was writing. And it really reads like a letter to Kira in a lot of ways. It's in, yeah, I guess it's first person, but it's like she's speaking to her daughter because they were incredibly close. And the title she gave her memoir was A Likeable Woman. And she's trying to urge Kira to, you know, don't be like me. Don't be a likable woman. Live outside the box. So that's it in a nutshell. And then, yes, as soon as she lands, she starts to get menacing text and danger starts to lurk all around her because someone doesn't want her to find out the truth about what happened.
Yeah. And it was a really, you know, it was really interesting kind of seeing Sadie's perspective and Kira's perspective. First of all, I do love the title, A Likeable Woman.
Thank you.
Because there's so much subtext in that, you know, like what one has to be a likable woman. And you see, you know, you see the people who have kind of stayed in this little gossipy town and what, you know, what they're doing. And on the surface, poor Kira is frozen, but you look at her versus her sister, and it's just almost like a different kind of frozen. I mean, you know, being married and having a family is not the only way to grow up. It can also freeze you in a role itself, which plays into Sadie's story a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Sadie doesn't want Kira to repeat her life. Not that she's saying it's bad to be a mom or anything. She loves being a mom, but just like, don't get boxed in by this cookie cutter BS that society has laid out for us. And so Kira, but she's stunted in a way because she's carrying this survivor's guilt. So she too is an artist and she went to college for it, but she can't seem to drag herself to the canvas. So she works this sort of like dead end job, but it's really like she will learn over the course of the novel. She'll have this epiphany that like she is frozen because she's, her mother never got to do that. And so she feels guilty about it. So it's powerful to get to get her mom's words in her hand and to realize, no, I need to, she would want me to live my life.
So how is this book a bit different than your other books? Because it is. I mean, it certainly is a May Cobb thriller, and it has, but it's a different pace. It's a slower burn. The menace is there. But like, for instance, like The Hunting Wives was, you know, like fire immediately. And with this, you're like following a trail, the flame, and you're just like, when is this going to go off?
Yeah.
And I loved it. But could you talk a little bit about how writing this was different?
Yeah, I wanted to challenge myself to do something different because, like you said, The Hunting Wives was, you know, it was very plot forward and right out of the gate. And Summer Darlings was, they were both very salacious and women behaving badly. And that was so much fun. But I, you know, I don't want to write the same book over and over. So I wanted to challenge myself. I love closed circle mysteries like Agatha Christie, Lucy Foley, Ruth Ware's In a Dark, Dark Wood. And I wanted to challenge myself, like, can I do this? Can I pull this off? So I set it over. I gave some constraints, like the guest list. I set it over a weekend and there's like a certain group of suspects. And I just thought that would be fun to have to, you know, challenge myself. And I also, like, there is some salacious, steamy stuff in here for sure, because it's like, it's one of my books and I can't get away from that. But I didn't want to just be like a one joke Janet where that's her shtick and that's all she can do. So I wanted to like go deeper into character. And I love books that have books within books or text within text. So I wanted to, and then Sadie's voice, that was the first thing I heard about in this book, like in my brain, like I heard her like talking to me and I was like, oh, I got to get this down. And then I realized, okay, I really like her point of view. But she's not going to just have chapters. It's got to be, you know, like her final words in a diary form.
It was definitely very good. And it was a surprise because it is, you know, when you do read certain authors, sometimes you do come to expect certain things, but it's good when your expectations are also subverted, you know, when you are like, ah, yes, this person, you know, you don't necessarily see where it's going. And I loved it. I mean, you know, it was really good in a lot of ways. And I really liked both Sadie and Kira. And
thank you.
There was a lot of heart in the suspense.
Yeah, it was really this book. So I have a book before The Hunting Wives. It was my little small debut called Big Woods. And it came out with an indie press that's now defunct or whatever. That book was very emotional for me to write, even though it's a thriller. This one was very emotional too, because a lot of it's based on my own mother. And my own mother is still with me. And so when I talk about it, people assume she's not, but she is. But my mom was a lot like Sadie in a lot of ways when I was growing up. And when I finished, and this has never happened, and I don't know if it was just relief, but when I typed the end, like I broke down weeping. But I do, it's definitely way more emotional. It goes into the sisters' relationships, which is super toxic and tricky, and the mother-daughter, and it goes into grief and the power of art. And like, so it's a weightier topics than just, you know, all the other crazy stuff that's in my other novels. So.
Yeah. Thank you so much for chatting about it. Again, this is going to be an instant recommendation. Are you working on something else after this?
Yeah. So I just turned in my next one. So I'm waiting on edits, and it's going to be my first one that's not set in East Texas.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah, it's set in Hollywood, and because I lived there for a couple of years, and I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about it, but it's a little bit more in the territory of Hunting Wives and Summer Darlings, with it being a little more of the erotic thriller vein. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just gave the thumbs up. you know, it's so funny because when you're talking I don't want to compare it to this because they are very different. But when you talk about the book within the book and the erotic thriller, obviously my mind goes to Verity.
Yeah.
Which was like a wild, wild ride in and of itself. I do think, again, you know, though this is definitely a slow burn and it is very different from Verity, I do think that people will find fans of Verity will enjoy A Likeable Woman on its own, again, completely independent, but I do think that they will find threads that they enjoyed in that with this. Verity and Sadie are very different people.
Yeah.
to say the least. Yeah. But there is that element of discovering somebody through their memoirs, you know, and that's
Colleen, I love Colleen Hoover. So I'll take it. And we're from our origins are about an hour away from each other in East Texas. So yeah, I don't know her, but I'm a huge fan. So this is music to my ears.
Again, love it. If you are a fan of May Cobb's other books, you will love this. If you are a fan of books within books, you will love this. And really, again, this is a coming of age story for a young woman or a woman approaching middle age, which I love because I don't think we ever stop coming of age.
That's a good point. No, we don't, unfortunately.
I mean, it's so common that we hear, you know, like, she's 16, she's coming of age. She's 18, she's coming of age. She's about to leave college, she's coming of age. You're always coming of age because your life is always changing.
Yeah.
And for Kira being frozen in time, it's about time for her coming of age story.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I love that. We are all always coming of age. It's crazy. So encyclical and... Yeah. There was a lot of catharsis in this book in writing it. And I hope readers enjoy it. You know, it is different. It's a different book for me.
But it is a good one.
Thank you.
It really is. Thank you so much. This is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page. Our guest today was
May Cobb.
And we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.